Let's pray together. Lord God, today is all about you. It's not about us. It's about the activity of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord God, we pray, come Holy Spirit, reveal Christ to us, form Christ in us, and express Christ through us. Come Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I was really nervous this morning, to be honest with you, when Tony asked me, would you sit in on the drums? Because the last time I played the drums was the last time I played the drums, which was, I can't remember when, but it's fun. Anyway, I had a couple helps here for men in the room. Ladies, you don't need to listen to this, but it's predominantly for the men. It kind of happens during life. You need a little nudge, you need a little help, or you need a little card in the wallet to follow when things are a little bit touchy at home. So there's ways to approach your wife, and there's three ways. There's a dangerous way, there's a safe way, and there's a safest way. A dangerous way, coming home from work, is to say, what's for dinner? A safer way is to say, can I help with dinner? The safest way would be to say, where would you like to go for dinner, honey? Another dangerous thing to say is, are you wearing that? A safer way is to say, gee, you look good in brown. The safest thing to say is, wow, look at you. Another dangerous thing to say is, what are you so worked up about? It's safer to say, could we be overreacting? A safer thing to say is, here's $50. A dangerous thing to say is, should you be eating that? A safer thing to say is, you know, we have a few apples left in the refrigerator. The best thing to say is, can I get you a glass of wine to go with that? A dangerous thing to say is, what did you do all day? A safer thing to say is, honey, I hope you didn't overdo it today. The best thing to say is, I've always loved you in that robe. Anyway, be careful what you say. Now, I have a disclaimer this morning, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it almost every time I get up here. It is, first of all, an honor and a privilege to share out of the Word what God has said to us through his scripture, but it's also, my disclaimer is, nothing I have to say today is original. Nothing. It's all right out of the book. It's nothing I've made up. It's nothing I thought up. It's nothing, it's all God-given. So the only opportunity we have today in hearing similar stories again and again and again is how the Holy Spirit makes it new and fresh and touches our hearts again and again and again. I'm amazed constantly at Kevin. He prepares every week to share, and we've heard sermons, and over a number of years, we've gone to the same point in Scripture, and he's read it and shared on it. But every time, for me, it's new. It's like I can't discard, well, I know that parable, I know where you're going, I've heard that. What's new about that? Well, the depth of his word in our lives is, it just goes on and on and on. And how many of us, everyone in this room, has read scripture, and you open it up and you read something you've read before a dozen times, maybe 50 times, maybe 100 times, and God makes it new for you that day. That's just something that he does. So his word, it's immeasurable, the depth, and how he touches our lives with the words he uses and how he says it and how different men share it. And the expression of love that comes out of everyone in this room is unique to you. How you express God's love through you, what he's doing in you, how you relate to a friend, your sphere of influence and people you're around, how you express the gospel is totally different than the person next to you, but it's just as real, just as genuine, just as everlasting, just as loving, just as overwhelming as anyone anywhere in the world, because God has a way. In Romans it says he has deposited his Holy Spirit in us. And so we're not robots. Even though we will follow the book, we will read the same words, but the expression, how you say it and how you live it out, is unique to you. And it's amazing because that's what God does. And we're all coming out of the same book, the same word of God, but how that is relayed in your life is amazing. It's kind of like relationships. The word of God, like Bo was saying this morning, you know, he's getting ready to do the offering, and what do I say? And I ask myself that every time before I get up here, and I asked Kevin last week, well, what do I say? What do I share? And he says, I don't know, God will give you something. You know, he's talking on relationships, he's talking on faith, we've talked on the journey, we've talked about hope, we've talked about fruit of the Spirit. We've had so many things this year offered up to us, and I thought, where do I go with this? So, a habit I have, and I do this every time. I've got a box, a banker box. You know what a banker box is? It's just a big cardboard box where you file business files. It's called a banker box. I don't know why, but I have got a banker box of notes. I'm anal about note-taking. I mean, every Sunday, it's just me. I have to do this. I have to write it down because I don't remember. And I have to write down how John Norton shares and how Mike Spinello shares and how Matt Davenport shares and how Kevin shares and how others share. I have to write it down because it just doesn't stick unless I write it. And if I write it, statistically, there's like an 80% chance that I'm kind of going to remember what was said. But when I go back and read it, I've still got notes from when Courtney shared 3 summers ago at Avenue about trust and confidence. I've got it written down. I know what you said. But it means a lot because the expression through you is unique. Through everyone who shares, it is so unique how God has touched their lives and changed them out of his word and how that's expressed. So for me, I've got to write it down. So I've got a box. I was tempted to bring it today. Just to show you, I start fumbling through my box, look at my old notes, look at things that encouraged me, and it kind of primes the pump. But every time I go through about an hour worth of notes, I've got to stop. And much like Bo, why don't you just talk to me? Why don't you just sit down and relax? Why don't we have a conversation? I'll tell you what I'd like to tell them. Not something you can come up with, something clever, something new and original. It's never going to happen because it's never new and original. It's out of his word, which is eternal. So it's hard for me to stop and sit down and listen. And when I do, then God floods me with his word, and I can't write fast enough what he's telling me and what I want to express. And I get so excited just being with him in preparation for this. I was telling my son-in-law, Dave Carter, this morning on the phone. We were talking about life and church and the weekend and Sunday morning and home groups. And just the preparation to stand up here, JoJo knows. A lot of people know. I get more out of this preparing to share with you than I can articulate and pass on to you or impart to you. I can't give as much as I've been given. But that is the wonderful thing about his word. And I told Dave this morning, I said, I wish every single person in this congregation would have a Sunday where you prepare and you stand up and you just pour out of your heart what God's speaking to you personally. And it's a lot easier to do that in home group, which we have several home groups, and it's a great place because it's a smaller group, it's more intimate, people know you, you spend week after week after week together, and it's easier to share. It's a little more difficult when you're standing in front of a bigger crowd or there's more time allotted for sharing. But we do that on a daily basis with one another in our relationships. Heather, Dudley, Lori, different ones that are talking to friends, walking with friends, praying with friends. It's ongoing, that conversation that you've had with God and now you're sharing with one another. And I think that's kind of the milestone in our relationship with the Lord as it's played out in our lives, not in this setting so much, but in the Monday through Saturday interaction with friends, neighbors, people around you, people you hang out with, people you do things with. That expression of love and care just happens. It just pours out of you. It's just natural. It's a supernatural thing that just comes out naturally. At any rate, I wrote down, God speaks a forever word to you personally. There's things he says to you that are forever. I mean, Bo kind of allotted to it this morning. For instance, love your wife. Okay, he said that to all men, love your wife. Okay, that's a forever word that we are constantly walking out a day at a time. And Bo said on the golf course, it's how you play the game a day at a time. It's not you win the tournament, you're standing there in front of the camera, national audience, you do the T-bow, or you say, I thank Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and that's great. But what do you do the next day? And the next day? And the next day? I was thinking this morning, or yesterday, this message this morning started a lifetime ago. It didn't just start this last weekend. It's been a lifetime of hiccups and mistakes and mess-ups and faults and sins and troubles and a lot of things that are devoting themselves to this time this morning. So when God speaks to you a forever word, it is a constant in our life. It keeps us going, and we only can walk that out a day at a time. Honor those who labor among you. There's a constant forever word. That isn't for our typical pastor appreciation month in October. It's for all year long. How does that play out? How do we apply that word of God? What does that mean? How do we express that? So righteousness. Forgive's a big one. Just one word, forgive. That's a major, major forever eternal word in God's kingdom. If we don't apply that and act upon that, the rest is shambles. It isn't going to count for much. If we can't forgive and move on, and forgiving doesn't happen in a day. We all know that. Everyone in this room has had a difficult place and person and issue to deal with to forgive. Everyone. And I could tell you mine. I've been embarrassed, and I've shared it with a few people. I had a 20-year forgiveness process. And I've shared with others, don't go down the road that I was too afraid to go down and give up and be vulnerable and forgive, because I felt hurt to the core so that I couldn't and wouldn't, until God so impressed me that if I don't, he won't. If I don't forgive, he won't forgive me. And I can't play the game and smile and get along. I have to forgive. I thought this weekend, if this was the last opportunity I had in life to share with you, for me personally, I would be focusing on forgiveness, because to me, that's the biggest factor. If you can deal with that issue, and it's not a once-in-a-lifetime issue, it's a weekly issue, it's a constant thing, where we bump and grind, and we have to confront issues and talk through things, and it's awkward, it's embarrassing, it's hard, we've got a good relationship, and I've kind of been hurt, and you know, Dudley, I really wish you had thought of me and done something different, and I have great expectations, and I build an offense, and then there's a barrier in our relationship, and then it kind of starts creating this wall. It's a hazardous thing to mess with, but forgiveness is a big deal, and that's a forever eternal word that we're always working on day in, day out, day in, day out. Contend for the faith. Kevin was talking a couple of weeks ago about getting in the fight and fighting for the faith. And in Jude, it talks about we've been handed the faith to contend with it, to pass it on. We have a responsibility with what he's given us to give to others. And I always think of responsibility as respond-ability, two words. It's my responsibility to respond to his word. He's going to hold me accountable to respond to what he's given to me, what he's given to us, and how we share that with others. But we have to contend for the faith. We have to get a hold of it, fight to keep a hold of it, and then to share it in the spheres he's given us. There's in Psalm 136, it's one of these psalms that we're all familiar with, but is a little redundant, and I wanted to refer to it because I need your help this morning on how to express what God's given to us. Psalm 36, for instance, it goes, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Then there's a refrain, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Every other verse is, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. His loving kindness to him, to him, to him, to him, to him, to him. His loving kindness to him, to him, to him, to him. His loving kindness. Over and over and over. Now that is meant to stick with us. And I wanted to read a couple things. Well, quite a number of things. And if you'll help me, this is interactive. And this is to help us. You can respond after I make a remark. You can say, "Hallelujah, glory be, amen, thanks God, praise the Lord." You can say whatever you want, but you need to say something. And it doesn't have to, we don't have to all say the same words, because then it gets to be a drone. No, I don't want to do that. But this is to, what it'll do, it'll please the Father, and it'll affirm the faith that we have. And you're responding, saying, "Yeah, I agree with that. That's a tough one. I can't say amen to that. I'm still struggling, Lord. I don't know what to do with that. That's not active in my life. I think I believe it, but I'm not sure." But if you will respond and just say something, it doesn't have to be loud. I'm not trying to go too Pentecostal on you, but I think it's for both of us, okay? It's going to help me, and it's going to help you. Okay, I want you to consider him, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us. He listens, touches, comforts, and disciplines us. Response? Okay. I got a bunch of these. We're going to get warmed up here. He dwells within us. Okay. Now, this is all out of Scripture. I didn't make any of this up, but I wrote it down. Every word I'm reading to you is out of Scripture, okay? He intercedes for us. He protects us. He guides us. He provides for our every need. He is the vine and he gives life. He has spoken his word to us and reveals himself to us. He supports us in temptation and is deeply involved in our lives. He is faithful to the end. He's a father to the fatherless, a husband to the widow, a country for the alien, a shelter for the homeless, a provider for the poor, sustenance for those lacking. He's a defender of the weak. I got a lot more. He's righteous and holy. This is the Creator we're talking about. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He gives grace to the humble. He hears the cry of his people. He brings peace in the midst of trials. He opens the prison doors and sets the captives free. He even knows when a sparrow falls. He is ever present, ever near, the everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. He will not leave us or forsake us. He is the audience of one. He reveals himself to us. He exposes our hearts to us. He inspires us to action. He delights in the praises of his people. He calls us from preference to conviction. He transforms us from needy to providers. He exchanges our sin for his glory. He exchanges our failures for his freedom. He exchanges our enslavement to sin to liberated bondservants. He exchanges our hope, our despair to his hope, our lack to his provision, our weakness for his strength, our brokenness to his fullness, our dreams to his desires, our curse of death to everlasting life. He exchanges our heart for his heart, our self-centeredness to preferring others. He exchanges our debt to his redemption. He exchanges our poverty to his riches, our contempt for his compassion. Not there yet. He exchanges our striving for his sanctification, our ways for his spirit, our depravity for his delight. This is all in the Word. It's nothing I made up, nothing original. Our shame for his wholeness. Our grief for his comfort. Our battle for his peace. He exchanges our distress for his confidence. Our blindness for his vision. Our sickness for his healing. He exchanges our walk for his ways. Our disappointment for his joy. Our attitude for his humbleness. Our questions for his trust. Our self-imposed boundaries for his unlimited kingdom. Our needs for his desires. He exchanges our deafness for his word. Our relationships for his family. Our confusion for his truth. Our direction for his providence. And last but not least, our hate for his love. He has done all that for us. It's amazing, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. There's a quote I wanted to read to you from Daniel Webster. He said, "The most important thought I ever had was that of my individual responsibility to God." And there's something that I've seen in Kevin and Dudley over the years, just to name it two, is a constant representation of someone else besides themselves to compel them, because Scripture says the love of God compels us to make choices and decisions we wouldn't normally want to make, to prefer others, to not to be selfish, to love, to give, to share, to excuse, to overlook a transgression. There's so many expressions of that in this room. It's just amazing. I want to go to Psalm 78 and just look at what has kind of been a constant thing that I'm oftentimes reminded of on a daily basis, fortunately for myself, is what is a prepared heart? What does that mean? You know, Proverbs says, a joyful heart is like medicine. If you did a word search on heart, to me it encompasses all of Scripture. To me, everything in what we're doing this morning and through the week is a heart issue, ultimately, is what it comes down to. How our heart is responding to Him personally is what every day is about. And I found out in the workplace that I can't shrug off a bad day, an issue with a contractor, words with a foreman that we're not getting along with. God will not allow me. I used to walk away, and I wouldn't say it. I went from saying it out loud to not saying it to thinking it. And then, you know, you can put in the adjective, whatever adjectives you use. I've got my own favorite ones. I do. I have some favorite adjectives. And the Holy Spirit, not only can you not say it, you can't bring it up in your mind. You can't walk away calling that person names to yourself. That doesn't cut it. That has to be erased. That has to be gone. You cannot do that. Because you're not saying it, Bill, doesn't mean you're not saying it. Because it'll come out in the expression in your relationship as you go through the day. So I am oftentimes, weekly, if not daily, reminded I have to put a cap on my emotions and reactions, and I can't go there. I can't let that happen. And it's a heart issue. I can't wrestle with that. I've got it. God's got to help me to look past that. And life means more than an argument and a debate over how something is being done or is not being done. I wanted to read a little portion of Scripture out of 78. I'll just start at 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. Okay, this is another thing I learned, and we probably all learned from Kevin. Every week when he gets up here, he's sharing to impart truth to Madison's children. It's not just about who's in the room today. It's an eternal word. And his goal is not just for you and me, not just for our kids, but our kids' kids' kids. And he's always had that position in his heart that what life was about, if it only runs in this generation and then falters, what good is it? What is this all about? Is it just about us agreeing and getting along and having a good time? And it's deeper than that. So, and Psalm 78, he's saying to our children's children. So Madison's kids, that's, and he may be around for that. He may not. I don't know. God's call. But when he shares, it's for beyond us, beyond this room, beyond immediate family, but for a legacy and heritage beyond and beyond. So with that goal in mind, the focus of what we do a day at a time, again, as Bo alluded to, a day at a time is what counts. The martyrs, you can read about them and you think, how could anybody go through that torture and put up with that? But they did it a day at a time. And you reach a point in life where decisions and choices you've made along the way have prepared you for whatever, fill in the blank. It's a day at a time. We live it out a day at a time. And it's like character. That's a day at a time, getting built. I don't think we're born with this superhuman character and courage. I think it is part of living out life and making choices and associations that lead to character and honesty and integrity that count in the long run. that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Over and over and over again, Scripture talks about being wholehearted, or having a divided heart, or do the word search. You'll be amazed how often heart is at the centerpiece of what God is trying to do with us, with the nation of Israel, with anybody that will hear his voice, with aliens that weren't a part of Israel. God will go to the nth degree if you have a heart towards him. I've seen it 100 times in my life, and we've done this. We're going down the road, we're preoccupied with life, we're busy, we're doing our thing, and we get caught up in the busyness, and then we're kind of frozen. We're in a routine. We can't break out of it. Things aren't so good. We're struggling with relationships. Things are marginal. And the minute you start to turn towards him in your heart, just the very minute, I have found over and over again, he is like, shh, right there. He hasn't walked away. He didn't leave. I've just been ignoring him. I've been reluctant. I've been negligent. I've been on my own course, doing my own thing. And as soon as we stop and pray and devote our heart towards him, everything changes, though our circumstances don't change at all. We still got the same job. We still got the same issues. We still got the same finances. We still have the same this or that. But our whole perspective, and we know this, Christianity 101, as soon as we turn towards him and we start giving him our heart, as much as we can, as often as we can, till he has our whole heart. And I think that's a process. To me, it's like salvation. There was a day when we said, I'm yours, Lord. But then he says, okay, I'm going to take you up on that a day at a time, one day at a time. And we can go long term and have a marginal relationship with him, as in a marriage. You get to a point in a marriage where it's kind of okay, kind of understand each other, we kind of work around it, or you invest, you support, you encourage, you sacrifice, you do whatever it takes to enrich that relationship. That's what love does. Love is action, 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 action. And that's the way God is towards us. For God so loved, he has gone to the nth degree to let us know that and express that to us and through us, through so many of you and others around you. It's an issue of the heart. This whole book to me is an issue of the heart. You can memorize it, and that's great. I think we ought to. I think we ought to have some scriptures embedded in us. One thing that I'm encouraged again is Kevin. He's up here sharing, and the word is so in him, it just flows out of him. I don't think he decided he was going to, memorize the book of James. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Or Psalm 23, there's nothing wrong with that, or whatever. But I think from having bathed in the Word, read the Word, walked the Word out, exercised the Word, prayed the Word, shared the Word, it's just in him, and it just comes out of him. And we know that. We've seen it. And I'm so grateful to God for good leadership and good government and good pastor. Aren't you? It means the world to us. We're so spoiled in a good way. Preparation, having a prepared heart. I'm going to wind it down here. But preparation to me in life, along with the heart issue, is really 95% of whatever we do. Learning to fly, I mean, till you're actually there doing it. Putting on a baby shower, getting ready for a wedding. The preparation, the joy is in 95% of it, in the preparation. And then at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens. But your heart's posture towards learning, sharing, decorating, designing, hosting, cooking. All that effort counts. It means so much because at the end of the day, when whoever you've done this for, whoever you're supporting, it comes through because it's a heart issue. All those hours of laboring and the work, it speaks volumes. And that's where the joy is, in the preparation. So having a prepared heart, preparing for blessing somebody else is important. We are constantly in preparation in life. A day at a time, we're being transformed, God says, from glory to glory, a day at a time. There's a transformation process going on. If we listen to his word and abide in his word, things are happening. He is preparing us. Everything you've done up to this to today, everything you've done will count for tomorrow. Choices you've made and consequences, it's going to count. It's going to make a difference. So it's a day at a time. We're only living life out a day at a time. I've got more to say than I can say, and my prayer is that whatever I said this morning, that a piece of that, of his eternal word, would lodge in your heart and make a difference in your life, not because I said it, it's because he did it. Stay close to him, read his word. When we don't know which way to go, open book test, crack it open, and ask him, and he'll tell you. Will the musicians come up? Except for the drummer, don't allow him to be up there again. Come. Let's stand. Okay, who wants to share next Sunday? Yeah, Kevin would shoot me. Dudley, I saw Dudley. Thank you.